Beyond the Horizon presents the 19 Fundamentals of the Ohio National Guard. In every episode, two Guards members sit down for a straightforward conversation, breaking down one fundamental, how it applies, and why it matters. These are the principles that drive our culture, sharpen our readiness, and keep us mission-focused. Let's get into it.
I'm Airman First Class Josh Kaser, a public affairs specialist with the 178th Wing, and I'm here with...
Hey, I'm Tyler Kemp. I'm the senior enlisted leader of the 126th Intelligence Squadron.
And I'm Captain Anthony Marolo. I'm a flight commander with the 126th.
So for the first question, I'll just ask you guys, what does it mean to strive to meet your full potential?
So when I think about striving to meet my full potential, Chief, I kind of look at it in a couple different lenses. First of all, I think about it from a personal and professional perspective. On the professional side, the Air Force gives us a number of things we need to work on, right? Our education, physical fitness, discipline, and technical expertise. So each of these areas, it's really important, I think, to identify, hey, what do I need to grow at? How do I improve? How can I seek mentorship in each of those areas? And I think it's also important to have that lens on when we're thinking about our personal life. What I was always told growing up in the military is you kind of have to have the personal side figured out so that you can strive professionally, but then also so that you can take care of others. So as young airmen grow into those roles as non-commissioned officers or junior officers, you kind of have to have the foundation laid in order to help others, which is what we ask our leaders to do.
Yeah, I think that's really good, Captain. I mean, I think we're on the same page in terms of just the importance of it. You know, thinking about striving to meet my fullest personal potential, for me, starts with the idea that I know that I've got one chance at this life, right? One chance at this life, one opportunity to serve in the role as a senior enlisted leader for the 126. Really, one shot at today. We're not promised tomorrow. And so I think personally, a long time ago, made a commitment to give each and every moment 110%. And with that, I think just innately comes this striving to meet the fullest potential that I have for the moment, for the season, for the role that I'm playing personally or professionally.
Yeah, I think as leaders too, it's really important to set that expectation and strive yourself. And I think that that has an effect on the rest of the unit, especially like in your position as a senior enlisted leader. Every single NCO and airman is looking to you, and how does Chief set the example, right? And same thing for our junior officers and DOs in the unit. If we're not striving to meet our full potential, both professionally and personally, how can we expect our airmen to do the same?
Absolutely. As leaders, we are constantly being watched, and so modeling what we expect is so extremely important. And at the same time, I know a lot of us here, yourself included, right, we're here for the airmen. We're here for the airmen. We're here for the mission. And so beyond setting that example, we know that we're going to give our best day in and day out to meet our fullest potential for the sake of them and the mission.
As leaders, how do you identify areas in which you're like, you know, from the outside looking up, you know, you hit chief. And so it's like, well, you know, they've worked so hard, they finally achieved this goal. Like, you're kind of capping out as how high you can get without becoming an officer, obviously. Like, how do you think they're getting feedback to make sure that they're still growing?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things you can do is find great mentors. And that can come in a couple different forms. So the easy answer there is, hey, find someone who's done the job that you've done before and has done that job really well. And it's very easy to maybe model your leadership style on what made them successful. But you also have to be introspective and identify, hey, the way I lead might be different than the way Chief leads. So you have to have a little bit of self-awareness. Not everything that works for me is going to work for him and vice versa. The other thing, and this is kind of an unconventional way to look at mentorship, is identify bad leaders. So you can learn as much from bad leadership as I think you can good leadership. Identifying those things that maybe created a toxic environment within a unit, or, man, if I ever got in that position, I'll never do X, Y, and Z. So I think it's important No matter who your leader is or who is in command or your next, your raider or whatever that is, take the good and the bad from them and then kind of mold that to what your leadership style is going to be. And I think most importantly is finding like great mentors. I was fortunate enough to be an aide-de-camp for a general officer, and you kind of mentioned like hitting that ceiling. Well, there's not really too far to go after general. But one of the things he told me is, you know, he found other generals who had retired, past commanders. Again, there's always someone who has more experience than you, and I think it's important to identify those good ones and then trying to get as much out of them as possible. And again, too, be humble, right? Be willing to receive that feedback. We all want to do well. We're all here trying to give our 100%. But if we're not willing to change and adapt, you know, you kind of put a fence around what you can do.
Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to identifying areas for personal growth, it starts with understanding where you want to end up, right? And so something that I've tried to be intentional about is during different seasons of life, taking some time to step back and to clearly articulate to myself what matters most and the priorities that I need to get after to make sure I'm taking care of what matters most in life. And so with that come some goals, and once those goals are established, then you've got the opportunity to spend some time self-reflecting and identifying, all right, how do my strengths work in to achieving those goals? And likewise, where am I lacking? And what do I need to maybe seek opportunity for development?
How are you instilling this kind of thought process culture into the culture, the thought process into the airmen that you're responsible for?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple ways to look at that. I mean, one, there's the institutional model that the Air Force gives us. As far as like continuous improvement, whether that's PME or tech school or just that technical expertise that we are constantly trying to develop, there's that. But again, coming back to an idea of like continuous improvement, when I think of striving, you never really get to that 100%. You're constantly trying to do better. And I think a good example is that, so I've been enlisted originally in the Army in 2010. So the challenges that we were facing as a military, we're very focused on counterinsurgency. We were going back and forth between Afghanistan and Iraq. And I got really good at doing that job. Well, if you look at the threats today, we're looking at things very differently than we did 15 years ago. So if we were stuck in that same mindset from like a post 9/11 counterinsurgency mission set, we wouldn't be addressing the needs of our nation today. So as leaders, you have to continue to go back, be humble, willing to learn. And you know, one of the things I've always heard is leaders are readers. So and the day you stop learning, the day you're willing to catch up on technology. I mean, look at artificial intelligence and the role that plays on a day-to-day basis in the military today. That didn't happen 5 years ago. So just in that short amount of time, I mean, the impact of technology and changing mission sets, you have to be willing to adapt or you're not going to be successful in today's Air Force.
And the 126, personal and professional development is something that we talk about on a regular basis. So we are constantly trying to encourage our airmen to step into new opportunities, to stretch with what they're comfortable with, and to seek out those chances to take that next step forward.
I think it's important, too, to not just look to senior leaders to innovate and change. A lot of junior airmen, when they go to tech school, they're getting the first look at the latest and greatest technology. So in our field, like with intelligence, those tools and those systems are constantly changing. How we're designing technology is more designed to meet like how Gen Z sees and thinks about problems just from an intuitive standpoint. So again, trying not to get set in our ways. If I have a junior airman who, hey, he's really good with X, Y, and Z tool, well, maybe I'm not the one to teach that tool, even though I'm in the quote-unquote leadership position. So as leaders, trying to identify the people that have that knowledge, expertise, talent, and let them innovate and take on leadership positions that may be not the institutionally correct position for like what their rank is, but they have the talent. So I think that's important as in our role is to identify those people as well.
Something else that we try to emphasizes the fact that we live in a world that is constantly changing. So for our airmen, that could be the challenge of the mission of the requirements that they're being asked to answer, those don't stay stagnant or the same typically. Those are constantly changing. The tools that they use need to adapt to the challenges that they're facing or going to be facing. Likewise, the unit itself is constantly changing. We've got people moving in and out of different roles, moving on to take on different opportunities. And so the expectation is that as airmen, we're ready to step into that next opportunity as it presents ourselves. So it's that constant change that serves as a catalyst to constantly be striving.
You talking about like the instilling that in your airmen and mm-hmm. it constantly being something that you're bringing up and like the ever-changing mission. Mm-hmm. With things changing so rapidly, how do you keep encouraging people to strive when they might be falling short? Or, I mean, even if you, do you ever see it in yourself sometimes where you're like, God, things are changing so fast, it's hard to keep up. Like, and keeping that desire to keep wanting to be better and change when it's like you're never going to hit never going to touch it. Mm.
I think with so many things in life, it's about being super intentional about it, right? So if you're going to commit to striving to reach your personal fullest potential, then maybe an important thing to do is as you establish goals towards which you're aiming, to really carve out some time, carve out some time on a monthly, semi-annual, annual basis to slow down and to reflect and to really provide some self-assessment on how you're doing towards reaching those goals, right? It serves as an opportunity to kind of realign where you are with where you want to be. Maybe you've fallen off. That's why it's called striving, right? We try, we fail, and that's okay. We're going to learn from it. We're going to readjust and get back on track.
Now, is there anything like in your personal life right now, like career-wise or personal, that you feel like, you know, there's an area that you're working towards? Like, some people, it's like fitness. Like, you know, we're going to get those new PT requirements. So, like, I'm looking at that 2 miles, and I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know if I can do that 2 miles. Or, like, if it's an educational pursuit, if you're like, I'm working towards my master's. To me, a better education is what striving like to hit my full potential is. Like, is there any kind of area in your life that you're currently working on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, lots of areas. Mm-hmm. But one that comes to mind, and probably one of the most important to me, is striving to be hit my fullest potential as a husband and a father, right? And so with that, you know, life is busy. Life gets in the way. And so I think it's super important that in those roles that I'm taking time to really get feedback from them, as well as do some self-assessment and course correct as quickly as identify when I'm off track. It's not going to be a matter of whether or not I get off track just because of everything that's going on, but how soon can I realize that I'm off track and course correct?
Well, and we talk about personal challenges and things that change. For my entire career, I've always been a perfect score on my PT type of guy. That's always just been an easy thing. I've enjoyed doing PT. However, the older you get, like, injuries start creeping in. So personally, I recently tore a muscle in my chest and I've had to kind of start over. So how do you stay positive, not get discouraged, and like realize, hey, I got to start at ground zero to get myself back to where I'm able even to conduct a PT test, let alone get to the point where I'm maxing it. I think the mentality around certain things too is important. So for example, how many times have we seen airmen just do the minimum on a PT test? I have no idea what the minimum on anything ever is, because I always strive to exceed the maximum. And not just in PT, but that's also in education. If I go to PME, I'm striving to be the honor graduate. I'm striving to do the best I can from an educational perspective, from a physical fitness perspective. When I show up to a drill weekend, I want my uniform to look the right way, to be squared away, because that also projects confidence and sets an example for others. And again, I've always believed that you can't ask other people to do things you're not willing to do yourself or haven't done previously. So if you're not earning that respect on a daily basis, I think that's the wrong approach. I saw an interview with a guy who was a Special Forces. He was an E9, but had never been to Ranger School. I think he was in his 40s, went back, and I said, "Why, you know, Sergeant Major, why are you doing this? You're already at the top." He's like, "Well, I asked my soldiers to do it." It's the same thing here. If we're asking our airmen to be technical experts, we have to strive for that expertise ourselves.
Is there anything that you think is mission specific to the 178th when it comes to striving to meet your full potential?
I think from an intelligence perspective, there's a couple things. One, you have to understand the tools and the type of products that we produce and just the general basic level skills. But I think where the challenge is we constantly have to be reading and understanding the current political environment. And I don't mean from like a United States politics thing, I mean like from a world political environment, because you know that's going to affect our analysis. You know, if country X and country Y no longer like each other and then things happen, well, that means something completely different that if they were on good terms. So expanding our knowledge base and expertise on different regions of the world. So again, as I mentioned before, when I came in, we learned about the Middle East. You learned about Iraq, Afghanistan, so like Arab culture, but then also Pashtun culture and those different idiosyncrasies and differences. Well, now we've shifted to different areas of the world, more UCOM focused, more Indo-PACOM focused. So again, if you constantly have to be willing to learn and strive to be smarter than you were the day before.
Mm-hmm. I think from the 178th, just wing, in terms of how this is relevant, I mean, obviously it's relevant in many ways, but when you think about the airmen that we have, right, and the varied missions that we have across this group, we need the unique individual talent that everybody brings, right? Captain Morello is amazing in many things. I do things a little differently in certain areas, right? But the unit benefits from both of us bringing our unique talents to bear on the mission and the challenges that are in front of us. And that's, I think that holds true across all the mission sets that we have here, right? So if we each individually aren't striving to reach our full potential, then we're robbing one another, as well as ourselves, of the richest myriad of solutions possible for the challenges that we're facing.
Is it different for full-timers out here than it is for dual status guardsmen?
In terms of a need?
No, just like when it comes to striving for your full potential, like when you see people trying, mm-hmm. is there a difference between DSGers and then full-timers out here?
I don't think so. I mean, I think the expectation on maybe like the day-to-day operations obviously is going to be a little bit different. But as a DSG member myself, I don't hold myself to any less of a standard than what an active duty individual or an AGR would be. When I show up on a weekend, I strive to have that level of competence that's expected, because if we are called to duty in a wartime scenario, it doesn't matter if you're a DSG or an AGR or active duty or reserve, you're going to be called to go and defend the nation. So I don't think there should be any difference. Now, I think that presents some unique challenges to people that mm-hmm. don't do this every day. I think in our career field, you know, we're fortunate we have a number of members that as civilians work at NASIC. So what they do during the week is very similar. But there was a time in my civilian career when I did purely acquisition stuff. So I knew when I showed up on a drill weekend to do intel, there was a little bit of catch up that I had to do. But I also did some things in preparation to where I wasn't starting again at like ground zero each month. But I don't think there should be a separation at all.
Is there anything when it comes to striving to meet your potential, your full potential, feel like I might not be asking?
I just think when it comes to striving to meet your full potential, you have to do that all the time. It can't just be when you show up on drill weekend. It needs to be with whatever your civilian job is. It needs to be with your family, your faith, fitness. I mean, there's a number of things, but in my perspective, it's like building a house. Each of those different areas is like a different brick, and you don't have the full house unless you're hitting all of those areas. Now, are there times in your life where, hey, maybe my fitness drops off because I'm going back and I'm getting my master's, and I don't have the time to put in like I did normally? Sure, but you can't just let that fall off completely. Or same thing, like, hey, I'm not in a formal education program, I'm not doing PME. Well, am I listening to an audiobook on the way home from work? Am I doing those things? Like, you can find time to improve yourself, and it needs to be continuous.
I just had a thought about how striving to reach your full personal potential is really, it's a team sport. And I'm not sure that we're emphasizing, or at least in the way that I've communicated, we haven't emphasized that enough. So when it comes to reaching your full potential, the greatest opportunity you have to do so is to be a little vulnerable and to share with somebody else what you're striving for. What you're striving for. This can be meaningful in many ways, right? So from a mentorship perspective, maybe you've got an opportunity to sit at the feet of somebody who's trying to walk the path that you're currently going down or aiming to walk down. And then likewise, it certainly presents the opportunity for some accountability, mm-hmm. right? And so if we can share with each other what we're striving for and some challenges that we're having, that helps us all come together to lift each other up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's such a great point, Chief, mentioning teamwork and a team game. Like, so this whole time we've talked about leadership and mentorship, but I think another area that's super important that kind of gets overlooked sometimes is peer mentorship. Mm-hmm. So for example, like in our squadron, I know I've confided with the other captains in our unit about, hey, here's some things I'm doing, like watch my back. Or, hey, if I say, like for example, I'm new to the Air Force, I say we in reference to the Army, because that's I did that for so long. I had them call me out on it every time, like, mm-hmm. no, that's not me today. Like, I need to, you know what I mean? Like, little things like that. But it could be PT, hey, let's go for a run when we get off work or whatever. Like, holding your peers accountable and being aware of, like, what their deficiencies are. And having the confidence in yourself and the confidence in your team to be able to, like, hey, I notice you're doing X, Y, and Z. And, like, be okay with that. And if one of your peers comes to you and says things, like, be receptive to that. Like, I think generally people want to help and do the right thing. I think most of the time it's not coming from a bad place, but being humble and, like, willing to accept that criticism or feedback, I think, is really important.
You've been listening to Beyond the Horizon, the 19 Fundamentals of the Ohio National Guard, produced by the 178th Wing Air National Guard Base in Springfield, Ohio.